This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
And it is a very disturbing day here because, once again, we're seeing the manifestation of an absolute vacuum of leadership in all areas of local politics. And the story of this 40-year-old woman who was raped in a bathroom at a car dealership in Ballard. You know, often when I talk about one story for much of the day, people go, come on, move on, Monson. No, everybody's saying, and yeah, blow this up. Make sure everybody knows that 6 hours before the head tax for homeless drug addicts taking money from the evil business owners so we could provide heroin housing where people can continue to use, the members of the Seattle City Council, they have to take ownership. You want to stand up and get cheered for all the money you took from Amazon and Starbucks and Safeway and Albertsons? You better stand up and accept the jeers when you play a key role in a brutal rape. And I've been trying to think about this from this woman's perspective. And I guess I think about it more as a father and a husband of girls, women. But just the idea, 7:15 on a Monday morning, dropping your car off at a car dealership just to get a little servicing. You go across, get a cup of coffee, you come back, you go into the bathroom. You're in the stall, and you hear somebody else walk in. So far, it's just a normal Monday morning, right? But then the person who walks in starts banging on your stall door. You're using your feet to try to fight them off, to keep them out, and they're able to break in. And then they sodomize and rape you, this poor, poor woman. Other male employees at the car dealership heard her screams. They tried to get in, but the monster had locked the door, trapping himself in this bathroom with that woman. Then, as he was distracted, but after he had completed the act of rape, the woman was able to break free and unlock the door, and the two men came in and detained the guy for the cops. 7:15 on a Monday morning, this 40-year-old woman's life went from whatever semblance of normalcy any of our lives have into just a nightmare of hell. It's unimaginable. But it's happening all too often. Because as we increase our homeless population by thousands from around the country, we increase the odds of criminally insane being among those thousands. So we'll talk with Kelly, who was brutally attacked at Golden Gardens in a woman's bathroom. We'll talk to her live right after the bottom of the hour news here, get her take on this. A bunch of people have said, you know, the two guys who restrained the homeless guy, held him till the cops got there, they showed some restraint. A bunch of people are texting me saying the guy would have left in a body bag if that had been them. I don't know. None of us know what we would do. I mean, those guys, they were heroic. They're trying to break into that locked bathroom door. I don't know that any of us know what we would do if confronted with that nightmare on a Monday morning in our workplace. But what I do know is the path we're on, the path that has been carved out by previous mayors, including one who's an accused child rapist, and the current mayor, Jenny Durkin. The path that has been so carefully crafted and strategized by every member of the Seattle City Council. We cannot continue going down this path. And yet, with Monday's vote, we did. We're spending more than any city in the country. Let's spend even more. Homeless people want to use our services. We won't check them for warrants. But can you imagine if you're a guy in Texas, like this 24-year-old accused rapist in Ballard on Monday? Can you imagine what a dream destination this is? Wait a second. Let me get this straight. If I go up to the Puget Sound area, I can have drugs, and the prosecutors won't prosecute me for carrying drugs. I can shoot up in front of a Seattle cop, and they won't arrest me. I'll get a home. The taxpayers will pay for a place for me to live, and they're telling me I can use heroin in that house. And they won't check for any outstanding warrants that I have. Really? What a dream. And it's not just Seattle. I'm getting text messages from those of you in Sumner and Centralia and Snohomish. And you're saying, yeah, we got this in our neighborhood too, Dory. And I know you do. That's why I don't pretend that this is just a Seattle issue. I am hearing from all of you, all around the region. And you know exactly what's going on. Got politicians who see the rape of women as collateral damage in their quest for money and for a voting block. And that's what this is all about. And it is nauseating. It's absolutely nauseating. We'll talk much more about this throughout the afternoon. And I will talk with Kelly, who was attacked at Golden Gardens last year. We do have some other news going on here in the Fastest 15, including more troubling stories about how they just blow money around here. The Seattle $1 billion transportation levy, Move Seattle. Remember that? It was going to help relieve gridlock, but gridlock's gotten a lot worse. They had a hearing at Seattle City Council yesterday about this. And SDOT now says, yeah, we don't have enough money to do what we promised the voters. Mike O'Brien, he took time away from encouraging drug addicts from around the country to come here. He talked about, really, I don't like this financial news.
This is not a fun conversation to have. We need to get this under control. We need to understand what has happened and where we're going forward.
I mean, it's almost gotten comical, except the underlying story is so horribly tragic. Mike O'Brien says, wait a second, so we promised everybody $1 billion worth of improvements to reduce gridlock, and now you're telling us that you can't complete many of this for the budget you promised the voters? Nope. So in other words, they lied to the voters. They said, we're going to give you synchronized lights and bike lanes and all of these wondrous things. It's called Move Seattle. Of course we're going to start moving people around the city more efficiently. Just give us $1 billion. It's the grand scam. It's like the homelessness thing. The grand scam. We'll just lie to the voters. We'll promise them all this stuff. We won't deliver. And then we'll go back and say, well, we'll fix it if you vote for the next tax. And the next one, of course, is going to be toll lanes everywhere in the Puget Sound area. Every inch of every road that you drive is going to be tolled. But we just voted for $1 billion Move Seattle. Why aren't we moving? Well, just give us a few billion in tolls, and then it'll be like a magic carpet ride around here. That's the MO. Just lie to the voters. Because the voters around here are so gullible. Just lie to them. Sound Transit lied to the voters. Metro. Oh, Metro's probably doing better than most. At least the buses have people on them. Sound Transit's the biggest scam, biggest criminal conspiracy governmentally in the history of the United States. Move Seattle, $1 billion levy. That was the one where they said they could do bike lanes for $800,000 a mile, and it turned out to be $12 million $1 a mile. They missed it by that much. And yes, the SDOT Project Development Division Director said, eh, we might have screwed up on this one.
What we recognized early on and should have raised the red flag probably earlier was seeing that our per mile cost was low and very optimistic in the development of the levee.
Let me translate for you. Our development cost per mile was low and very optimistic. Okay, that's government talk. Let me put it into humanoid language. We lied to the voters. We told them, you give us this money, we'll give you all these bike lanes. Give us $1 billion. And they went, okay. Jumps. Suckers. Fools. That's what she meant to say, but her bosses would have been upset if she had truthfully answered the question. So instead it comes out.
What we recognized early on and should have raised the red flag probably earlier was seeing that our per mile cost was low and very optimistic in the development of the levee.
How do people work in government? We lied to the voters to get their vote, to get their money. That's what she's saying. It was overly optimistic. We should have raised the red flag sooner. We lied. But you got the $1 billion, didn't you? And justifies the means if you're in local politics. Next up in the Fastest 15. The most common job in Seattle used to be retail. But no more. Brand new Department of Labor statistics. The number one job in the Seattle area now is software developer. 80% of software developers are men. And, you know, we've heard a lot about the gender gap in the tech industries. But retail, it's disappearing. We've talked about some of the malls. You go into some of the high-end, even, retailers, and they're just empty all too often. People have shifted online, and that trend is going to accelerate. I mentioned yesterday the irony of the city council forcing all these grocery stores out of Seattle, which they are in the process of doing. Albertsons and Safeway, with the head tax, they're going to just get out of Seattle because, and they got two stores out of here 2 days ago, they announced. Because they're a high labor cost, low margin business. And they are the businesses that can't afford the head tax. The irony of all of this is, as the grocery stores leave Seattle, what's going to be left? Amazon Go, with no employees. Everything just computers. I thought that was the evil, wasn't it? All right, next up in the Fastest 15. Oh, yeah, the head tax. I got to get back to that for a second because the Jennifer, who comes on our show every once in a while, she was talking with Q13 yesterday about how we have no idea how they're spending the drug addict money now, the $200 million a year for so-called homelessness. But it's mostly a drug addict fund. And when citizens like her have tried to get a detailed spending of where all that money's going?
I'm sorry. There needs to be an audit like right now. Put a link on your page that the public can hit that shows where has the money gone.
And she says maybe we should demand some answers.
There's a lot of people with their hands out and you don't have any performance results to show for it? No. That's when you stop. You stop giving the money away. You got to be held accountable.
No. Why hold them accountable? Head tax, transportation tax, on and on it goes. Next up in the Fastest 15, oh, man, Nicole was obsessed with this morning. You were calling over every coworker to your desk. You'd already called every coworker over before I got here.
Well, I realized I was in the minority, so it was bugging me. I wanted to find somebody on my side.
So can you explain to me what the origin of this is?
Well, it's just this, it's the sound that is dividing the internet I suppose, or dividing people, hearing one thing as opposed to hearing another. And so supposedly,
kind of like that dress a couple years ago.
Right.
And do you see this is blue or gray or whatever the two colors were?
Yes. So there's these two sounds that you could hear within this one sound. And I hear something and you all hear something different.
And have you heard this yet, Sean? Have you been a part of?
Oh, yes. I made him.
Okay.
I have, yes.
Okay. Did you hear what Nicole was hearing?
No, because Nicole's a crazy person. And she hears the thing that no one else hears.
Well, I have heard a little bit about why I might hear that now, and it probably makes sense. But okay. But why don't you play it, and then we'll figure it out.
Okay, so listen to this, and then think to yourself, what word are they saying?
Laurel. Laurel. Laurel.
So what word do you hear?
What did you hear, Sean?
I hear Yanny.
That's so weird.
It switched on you, right?
When you were playing for me at your desk?
Yes.
All I heard was Yanny.
Yeah. And that was
on you? In my headphones? That's all I hear is Laurel.
You do?
That is so weird.
Really?
That's crazy.
Because Nicole played it for me at her desk, and I said, I'm saying Yanny.
That's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah.
And she goes, no, he's clearly saying now I have headphones on. Is it the same for you in headphones as when you were at her desk?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to play it again. I zoned out.
Well, no. Okay, let me play it again.
Laurel. Laurel. Laurel.
No, I still hear Yanny.
That's so funny.
All I hear there is Laurel through my headphones. But that's the same clip you were playing for me at your desk.
Same clip.
No way.
It is.
You know what?
It has to do with they say that it has to do with the pitch, but what I've been reading about it is that people that are more sensitive to the higher frequencies are the ones that are hearing the Yanny. And I obviously do not have sensitive hearing. I have very terrible hearing, and that's probably why I hear Laurel. And you, I mean, the way that it's fluctuating, because some people are saying that it changes. Some people say that it changes, it's just
you played
your brain.
It 10 times for me at your desk, and it's Yanny every time. And now in my headphones, all I hear is Laurel.
You know,
so
that's
weird.
Really
I think
weird.
Everyone who is starting to hear or who has always heard Laurel are going to be are being taken over by some sort of extraterrestrial or government manipulation. Have you seen the movie They Live, Dory?
No.
Well, it's a great sci-fi flick from the 80s.
I don't know.
It has to do, like I said, with your ability to hear certain
Laurel. Laurel.
So
play the other two that I have in there that have different.
Down.
Yanny. Yanny.
Okay, that's Yanny still.
Really? But, see, I still hear Laurel. I do not hear any.
Yanny. Yanny.
Yeah, I hear Yanny there.
Oh, weird.
Laurel. Laurel.
That's clearly Laurel.
Really?
They're all Laurel to me.
They're all Yanny to me.
That's really weird.
I'm even trying to hear Laurel.
I try to hear Yanny.
I tried.
I say it in my head to try to hear
I just can't believe how different it is in my headphones in the studio than when I was at your desk. I didn't think that was possible.
Laurel.
Skeptical.
Laurel. Laurel.
Wait. I just heard the word burrito.
And that is your fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast. Stories, fastest 15.
Okay, we're going to get back to the serious topic of the day. And I'm going to talk to a woman who's become a friend of our show who was a victim of a similar attempted attack in Ballard. Coming up right after the news on the Dory Monson Show. Well, it's a story that has me just sick to my stomach today as we get the details on a brutal rape in Ballard. A 40-year-old woman went into a car dealership just to get her car serviced, 7:15 Monday morning, went across the street to get a cup of coffee, and then came back to the dealership. They're doing some construction, some remodeling, so they have a little temporary bathroom facility. She walked up the ramp, went into the women's room, went into the stall. Then heard somebody else come into the room. And he started banging on the stall door. She tried to hold it shut with her feet. He busted it open. And then he raped her, sodomized her with his fingers, raped her, completed the act of rape. Two male employees, after they heard her screaming, the rapist was distracted enough that the woman was able to unlock the door and the two male employees and a customer. We talked to the manager of the dealership last hour. Two employees and a customer restrained the guy until the cops got there. So here's what we know about the guy. According to police document, and ordinarily we don't give names before charges, but it's a matter of public record, and it's important in the context of larger issues here. His name is Christopher Teal. My listeners have brought to my attention a Cher Ballard Nicholsville homeless encampment, and the second picture in that photo essay. I'll tell you much more about this in detail at the top of the hour. Nicholsville resident Chris Teal looks out from a shelter amid preparations to move. Guy came here from Texas. Amy Clancy told us that he had an outstanding warrant, and yet the encampment doesn't check for warrants. We give him tax resources, but we can't check to see if they're on the run criminally. I want to welcome to the show, she's become a friend of our show. Last year, she was training for a marathon, and on a run, she went into the women's restroom at Golden Gardens, where she was the victim of a brutal would-be rapist. But she was able to fight him off. Her name is Kelly Heron. She joins us here on Cairo Radio. Kelly, I appreciate you coming back on with me today.
Thanks so much, Dory.
What's your reason? I know that you had not heard about this story until Nicole got hold of you late this morning, but what was your reaction when you heard in Ballard an attack so similar to the one that you were able to fight off?
You nailed it when you said it's just sickening. I mean, it really just makes me sick to my stomach and to think about how terrifying and how damaging that is long term. And I mean, it's you're never the same after something like that. My heart absolutely goes out to this woman, and it doesn't seem to me to be a problem that's getting better. I'm still, I still continue to run all around the city and in Ballard and other neighborhoods. And it's like, there are tents, like there are people living on tennis courts and on running paths and with their, with their shopping carts just, and you can't distinguish. I mean, this happened to this woman at 7:15 in the morning. My attack was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. This isn't about safety. This isn't about how to be safer. It's we need a solution for the homelessness who are taking over our streets. I mean, you proved, you proved it yourself. It's decriminalized for them. They're not held to the same standards, and we aren't doing anything about it.
No.
Recently, go ahead.
Okay. Well, the guy who attacked you, also not from around here. He came here from Arizona, as I recall.
He was in Arizona, and then he was in Clark County, Washington, and then kind of got, was being inappropriate there, to say the least, and sort of got scared out of town and hopped on a train or however, got to Seattle. And it was shortly after that he set up, he set up camp in Golden Gardens, and now he is, in a cell.
Yeah. You're one of the few people, and sadly it's too big a number, but you can give us some kind of insight what this woman, what was going through her head. As, like I said, 7:15 on a Monday morning, 40-year-old woman, she just wanted to get her car serviced, probably got up a little early so that she could, get to the dealership before carrying on with her, normal Monday. I cannot imagine, Kelly, that, those of you who go from a mundane marathon training run or a mundane, delivery to a car dealership for a little servicing to one of the worst nightmares any of us can imagine.
Yeah. And, it was likely she was probably going to work. And it's like, these camps are set up around where we work. We're trying to go, make a living and be what Seattle is supposed to be, which is a hub for technology and development and do these great things. And in the process of just trying to live our lives, so this is what we have to deal with. And we're the Emerald City from far away, but you get right into it, and it's embarrassing. My sister came to visit from St. Augustine, Florida, and
we were driving around some neighborhoods and going to music shops and stuff, and we're down in Pioneer Square, and within a three-block stretch, there was a deceased man who someone just propped up in a wheelchair and put a pair of sunglasses on, and EMTs later showed up, and they were just like, you know, he was not alive. The next block down, his, who I assume was his homeless friend, is just sobbing on the side of the street. Across the street, there are two men smoking crack. My sister looks out the window. I don't know if you've ever seen someone smoke crack, but it's an image that gets burned in your mind. And it was like, welcome to Seattle. This is where I work really hard so that I can live. And this is the city that I live in. It's embarrassing. And I cannot believe that a city with this many resources and good people, and it's why is this happening, and what are we doing about it, and why is there so much hidden that we don't know, and why do we keep throwing money at it and not knowing where the money is going, and we're not seeing any results, and it's so frustrating.
Well, it is, and I've given my theories, and I'm very confident in my theories, the answers to those questions. We have politicians who are more interested in controlling money and in eventually controlling lives. They don't want the addicts to get clean and to get a job and to get out on their own. They want them to be beholden to Mike O'Brien and Kashama Sawant and all the rest for their livelihood, because if they have to rely on the city council members for their life, then they're going to vote for those city council members to take money from evil Amazon and give it to me, the poor drug addict. And I mean, that's the sad but honest answer to your question, Callie.
Mm-hmm.
It's depressing. And I'm going to go into this more in depth at the top of the hour, but listeners just sent this to me. We have a picture of a guy with the same name as the rapist in the police documents, Christopher Teal. There's a picture of him in the Seattle Times. I'm just finding a date on this. November 18th of last year, so about 6 months ago, 6-7 months ago. And it's him standing in a shelter at Nicholsville. He had an outstanding warrant for breaking in and squatting in a house in Magnolia. And we provided him, apparently, with services from this homeless encampment, share encampment, and didn't even check to see if he had an outstanding warrant. If they had checked, maybe this guy would have been off the streets Monday morning when he allegedly raped this woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's policies that are, I'm sorry, I hear the emotion in your voice once again. I know that this brings up a lot of hard memories for you.
Yeah, it's like, what do we have to do? Fight these guys off one by one and put them in prison one by one? Is that our responsibility to shoulder now? Or is the city going to take care of us? That's what we pay for, right? Like, that's the way it's supposed to be. I know that's really idealistic, but, like, is it too much to ask for just a baseline of safety to live in the city to which you pay taxes?
It's not idealistic, Kelly. It's job one. Public safety is job one of local, of city and county officials. There is nothing more important than public safety. And the fact that they allow these other political issues to overwhelm what should be job one, and, you know, like we saw with the vote on Monday, they're just going to continue throwing money at this without any. They don't even have a plan. They even admitted yesterday. They said, now the big problem is, what do we do with this extra $45 million a year? They got the money first before they had a plan.
And isn't that what they said last year, too? Like, we don't really have a plan. The quote?
No, Ed Murray said, we're making it up as we go along. That was his quote about this crisis. Yeah. Well, I don't know what it's going to take. Your story certainly should have been a powerful motivator for us to start dealing with the criminal population among this, you know, so-called homeless community. But we just keep giving them services. We don't check for warrants. And people like you and this woman in Ballard on Monday apparently are just collateral damage in the mind of our politicians. And it's, like I said, it's nauseating to me. And I'm sorry when you hear a story like this, because I know that it conjures up all kinds of emotions in you.
Well, I appreciate you shining a light on a very dark topic. And it's only through doing that we have a chance at
change. And it's probably not going to happen quickly, but at least you're helping to spread that awareness. And as a citizen, I appreciate that.
Well, thanks, Kelly. I appreciate you very much. Your toughness and your strength is, I've told you that often, something that I'm in awe of. So I appreciate you coming back on with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Kelly Herron, who's brutally attacked in a Golden Gardens restroom in Ballard last year. She was able to fight off the attacker before the rape occurred. The woman in Ballard on Monday could not. And the beat goes on in the Emerald City. We'll go through all of your text messages. Lots of feedback from you, and we will have the latest on this Ballard rape. And my goodness, we have fantastic listeners to this show, because to connect the name of the guy in the police report to a November Seattle Times photo when they did a story headline, some rocky political theater, but Seattle homeless camp stays in Ballard for now. Rocky political theater. That's what this is. But the name of the guy in photo number two in that Seattle Times story has the same name of the guy in the police report. So I'll give you more details on that coming up right at the top of the hour. Holy moly, how about this? You know, the Key Arena, or I'm sorry, Seattle Center Coliseum remodel? It apparently is behind schedule. We just found that out yesterday, that they are hoping to have hockey here in 2 years, and they're hoping that they're going to be able to begin construction in September so that they can have hockey by September of 2020. And now they're telling us that, yeah, that's a little aggressive, that schedule. So what do we do well? I asked this a couple days ago. As a city, what do we do well? The seawall, $100 million over budget. Seattle streetcars, $60 million over budget. The bike lanes, millions over budget. Key Arena, behind schedule. We don't do anything well around here. And what I guess is most disturbing to me is on the city council, I'm looking at these headlines of stories today. Seattleites demand accountability on the millions already spent on the homeless crisis. Really? We do? How are we demanding that? I know the people went out and chanted no head tax, construction workers, but how do we demand accountability if we let people stay in office? Amazon and Starbucks sent out statements blasting the city council's head tax. And I heard Bruce Harrell yesterday issue a challenge to Amazon and Starbucks. He said, you know, come sit down at the table and talk with us. And I think it was Todd Herman, our colleague over on KTTH on Twitter, who said, you know, that's what despots do. Pass a tax and then tell the victims of that tax, now come talk to us. We do everything backwards. Seattle Times story today. Now the big challenge is figuring out how to spend the money. What business could stay in operation if you told your customers, hey, we're going to sell you a bunch of stuff, and after you pay for it, then we'll figure out what to give you? Would you deal with any company that had that policy? Pay us, and then we'll decide what you bought. That's how things are being run around here. Okay, the very latest on this horrible Ballard rape story and what it means to the head tax proponents on the council. Next.